Like I said, this is Reformation Sunday. We rejoice that God stirred the heart of Martin Luther to take that bold witness for Christ. Martin Luther is sometimes described as being like a bull in a china shop. Really, without discretion, he just let himself loose and really went for it. Yet, that being true, he was a great man of God, gifted incredibly, and had a magnificent effect by the power of God, and not only upon the day in which he lived, but in the centuries to follow. Yet, Martin Luther was a man of God indeed, in his own personal walk in life. He was far, far from perfect. I could mention some great errors and sins that he was guilty of. But yet, he certainly was a man who knew and cultivated the fruit of the Spirit. And with this being Reformation Sunday, I thought it was fitting to consider what Martin Luther said on the subject of meekness. And let me just start then by reading this to you, because he gives a fair definition and encouragement to meekness. Let everyone learn for himself to be mild towards everybody. That is, not to deal with and treat his neighbor unreasonably, with a hateful or revengeful spirit, like those who rush through headlong, never willing to bear anything or yield an inch, but turning the world upside down, never listening to anybody or excusing anybody for anything, but pile on the bundles at once and never stop to think only how they may take vengeance and strike back again. And that's a fair definition. He uses the word mild. Let everyone learn to be mild towards one another. And that's a good definition of meekness, being mild. The opposite to meekness, the opposite to being mild is, as he said here, treating one's neighbor unreasonably, hatefully, with a revengeful spirit, rushing headlong to counteract everything that displeases him, never willing to bear anything, never willing to listen, to reason a thing out, never excusing anybody for anything, never once stopping to think, only considering how they can strike back with vengeance. That's the opposite to meekness. Let me build on that this morning. If I can put meekness into maybe two categories, the meek man is not aggressive and is not self-promoting. And that's where we'll start here this morning. Not aggressive and not self-promoting. By aggressive, I don't even mean physically aggressive fighting. I don't even mean that. Obviously, that's not being meek, and obviously, that's not being godly. That hardly needs to be stated. When I talk about being aggressive, I mean, let's take someone in the world of business, and they are aggressive in wanting to climb the ladder. They will do whatever it takes to get ahead of somebody else. That's self-promotion. Wanting the praise of men, wanting to be promoted and get ahead of everyone else, that is the absolute opposite to meekness. But the meek man is not someone then who seeks promotion or even praise, but simply does what's right. That's what meekness is. Simply doing all the time that which is right. Doing one's duty. Performing one's calling to the best of their ability and doing so quietly, not with pride, not boasting, not seeking men's applause, because that's pride. No, a meek man is content to put his head down and do everything that God gives him right and to the best of his ability. God himself promises to take great care of the meek man or meek woman. Now, I want you to follow through the book of Psalms with me here, because the book of Psalms mentions the word meekness 2, 4, 6 times. And I want to turn you to those 6 references because they are genuinely incredibly interesting. Psalm 22, let's go there and follow me through. We'll just read each verse and just make a brief statement about each one. So like I said, God has promised to care for the meek. And that's paramount. If you're ever going to be meek, you need to understand this, because this will be the bedrock to encourage your meekness. Psalm 22 and the verse 26. The note what this says about the meek man. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. Now, did you see that? The meek shall eat and be satisfied. That's a statement of fact and of promise. And what God is saying here is that there is provision for the meek. God will provide what the meek need. Go to Psalm 25 and the verse 9. Because now we think about guidance given to those who are meek. Not to the proud, not to the aggressive, but to the meek. Psalm 25 and the verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek shall he teach his way. So God promises to the man who is meek, to the woman who is meek, to the young person who chooses to be meek, I will guide you. Provision for the meek. Guidance for the meek. Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and the verse 11. And this, of course, is the psalm that we read together. And we had all those precepts or these truths that flow out of being meek. Verse 1, fretting not. And that will become clear in a minute or two. Trusting in the Lord, delighting in the Lord, committing thy way unto the Lord, resting in the Lord, ceasing from anger. Verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth. There's a reward now enjoyed by the meek. Provision for the meek, guidance given to the meek, a reward enjoyed by the meek. Let's go to Psalm 79. Psalm 79. I'll be encouraged to write these down and consider them. And may they encourage you and help you to be meek. Psalm 79. Psalm 76. I apologize. Psalm 76. And the verse 9. Okay, Psalm 76. When God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. To save the meek of the earth. And what that means is God is the one who defends the meek. You don't have to defend yourself. Now keep that in mind. That's a really important one. It is God who will stand up and defend the meek. That's really important. Psalm 147, let's go there. Psalm 147 and the verse 6. The Lord lifteth up the meek. There's the exaltation experienced by the meek. You don't have to pursue your own progress. It is God who promotes whom he will. It is God who humbles whom he will, not you and I by an aggressive personality. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. And the last reference here is Psalm 149. So we're coming near the end of the Psalms now. And the verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. And the idea there is like putting on a gown, like dressing the meek with the gowns of salvation. It's the idea of honoring those. God will honor those who are meek. Now think in those. Provision for the meek. Guidance given to the meek. Reward enjoyed by the meek. Defense of the meek. Exaltation experienced by the meek. And honor given to the meek. Now, with all those in mind, turn with me to Psalm 131. Psalm 131. And again, this psalm defines the meek individual. Psalm 131. As we try and grasp this term, when God says the Spirit brings meekness, what is this and what are we cultivating? Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty. So that means his heart is not proud. Nor mine eyes lofty. That means looking up at things that you don't have and being discontented. I want what someone else has. Covetous. His heart is not haughty. His eyes are not lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. That's a really helpful verse because mankind is often exercising our minds in things that are too high for us. There are things that God has not told us. He has not given us information, not because he's hiding something, but because you're not capable of receiving it. As a father, there's only certain things you can give to your children, for there's things that they simply are not mature enough to handle. And so as a father, I'll take care of those things. The children, when they come to age, then they can understand more and receive those things. But this is stating, here's the heart of the meek man. He's resting in God. He's resting in God. You see, he's not proud, looking to get as much as he can, because he's meek. God will provide for the meek. All right? His eyes aren't looking all around to everything else because he knows that God will give a reward to the meek as God is pleased to do so. He doesn't exercise in things that are too great for him, trying to understand what's going to happen in a year's time or trying to understand everything about your life. Listen, the meek man knows God will provide for me, he will guide me, he will reward me, he will defend me, he will exalt me, and he will honor me. And that's what the meek man is. So let's read verse 1 again there of Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself. I love this picture now. As a child that is weaned of his mother, my soul is even as a weaned child. Now what does that mean? That's the heart of the meek man, a weaned child. You see, when a child is born, by instinct, it will, when it's hungry, it will scream the house down. It will lift up its little lungs and it will squeal for all it's worth as if there is no one who loves the child, nobody who cares for it, as if it's never been fed before. It will scream with great intensity until it gets its wee bottle of milk. Now, the reality is, if the child would wait, it would get its milk. And I experience this regularly every day right now, several times a day, as my wife takes care of our wee newborn. But a weaned child is different. They've grown up. They're not childish and immature. They're a little bit more calm. They trust in their parent. They have learnt that my parent will give me food. I can indicate my hunger, but I wait. I see my mother at the cupboard. She's bringing out the spoon. The food's coming. I will wait quietly upon my caring parent. That's the idea here. You see, someone who lacks meekness will be flustered and rushing and not ready to
quietly wait upon God, not understand that God provides for the meek, guides the meek, rewards the meek, defends the meek, exalts the meek, and honors the weak, the meek. But let me tell you, the meek man understands that and will wait quietly upon God.
And so Psalm 131 closes by saying, "Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forevermore." And that's what meekness is. It's sitting back. And I'm going to trust in the sovereignty of God. Men and women, that is meekness. It's first, and I'll say this again, a minute or two if time permits, but meekness first and foremost is directed towards God. How do you exercise meekness towards God? It's by not aggressively and rashly complaining to God all the time. It's waiting. I know my God is in control. I'm not going to contest sovereignty. I'm not going to challenge or question God's sovereignty. No, I'm going to be meek and quiet and mild towards God. Now, let's go to Numbers 12, the text that we read together. Meekness is primarily towards God and then towards men. So Numbers 12. And we read this together, and I hope you read enough of it that I don't have to explain it in any detail, but just that suffice to say this. Here is Moses, the meekest man on earth, literally. And his brother and sister, who should be the first to support him. Who should be the very first in line to help their brother under this massive responsibility that he did not take upon himself, but God thrust him into this task. Set him as this man to lead Israel through the wilderness. They should have been the first to help him. But instead, what do we read in verse 1 here? They're complaining about Moses. They see things in his life that they are not happy with, regardless to what God says. Verse 2, it says, "And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And let me explain that one now. What that means is, there's envy. They're envious. They're jealous. Because everyone's looking to Moses. They're kind of in the shadows. They're only known because they're Moses' sister and Moses' brother. All right. That was their perspective, at least. They're not on the top of the chain. They are not, as it were, standing beside Moses with equal authority over the people. And that's eating away at them. And so what do? They become very disgruntled. No doubt this happened over a period of time. It doesn't happen overnight. But over a period of time, and perhaps Moses saw this envy growing and growing and growing, and they've maybe kept it deep within their heart, but it's bubbling over, and now they become vocally aggressive against Moses. Vocally, their envy is expressed, because now they explain with I've no doubt great vigor, "Hath not God spoken to us as well? Why do you all run to Moses? Why not come to us? God speaks to us as well, you know." And they're trying to promote themselves. And while promoting themselves, they begin to pick faults as they see them in Moses, and they're trying to get rid of him or move him to the side a little bit. What are they doing? They're being aggressive and they're being self-promoting. Unreasonable toward their brother. And shame on them. This is not how you behave in the work of God. Now, in contrast to his brother and sister, who were aggressive, self-promoting, read verse 3. "Now the man Moses was very meek." And why is that verse there? That verse is there to explain why Moses now does what he does. Now look, what does Moses do? When his brother and sister challenge him, the people of God in the house of God challenge him, what does Moses do? Well, read verse 4. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses. What did Moses do? Nothing. What did Moses say? Nothing. Moses didn't even challenge his brother and sister. He didn't go out and reason or try and win the hearts of the people. He did nothing. And God explains his behavior in verse 3. It's because he's meek. You see, Moses knew, God will provide for me. God will guide me through this. He'll reward me. God will defend me. I need not do anything. And that's exactly what happened. You see, Moses wasn't looking the praise of men. Moses rests entirely upon the providence of God. All of this was happening for a reason. He understood that. And he stood back to let God do what he had to do. You see, Moses wasn't wanting position. He would have been happy, no doubt, to take a back seat. He was humble. So then, verse 4, the Lord comes and speaks suddenly unto the three of them. And the Lord deals with Miriam and Aaron and plagues her, of course, with leprosy. And then Moses meekly prays for her, prays for his enemy. He has been struck down rightly by the judgment of God. Yet even then God, or Moses, prays for a sparing hand. Shame, men and women, on those who aggressively seek self-promotion, especially in the work of God. There is no room for that in the work of God. But to be meek and to be humble. Now, can I say this? Well, we've just seen in that text there that God provided, guided, rewarded, defended, exalted, and honored Moses. But let me tell you this. Meekness is not weakness. You have no doubt heard that before. Meekness does not mean weakness. Because I tell you, Moses was not a weak man. Not only was he meek, he was incredibly powerful and strong. Fearless. You don't read of Moses quaking in his boots, except when he's standing before God. He wasn't weak. He was meek. That means his strength. He could harness it. He could control his strength. Strength under control. A gentleman. Let me show you how this man was not weak. Remember how he fought the Egyptian who slew a Hebrew. He fought him and he killed him with his own bare hands. He wasn't weak. He single-handedly stood up for the women whom he found in the wilderness, and he helped them. Although the shepherds there were all opposed to the women, he stood against all of those shepherds and helped the women, as other of his predecessors did as well. Not only that, but he lived in the hills for 40 years, looking after his father-in-law's sheep. He faced Pharaoh. I tell you, facing Pharaoh would not have been an easy task. He knew that Pharaoh hated the sight of him, yet time and time again, he went right in to the presence of Pharaoh to challenge Pharaoh again and again and again. Remember the time when God came to speak to him in the wilderness, and he spoke about a stammering tongue. He spoke about his inabilities. He only quaked in the presence of God. It was God was giving him a task to do. But this man knew, I can't do it myself. And that's why God was reassuring him, you need me. He knew his inabilities. He knew his limitations. This is the man who led millions of people. Not one or two, but millions of people through the wilderness. People who complained. People who on several occasions threatened to stone him because they were unsatisfied with the wilderness they were walking through, and they were wanting to kill him over and over again, who had no faith in Moses, who had no confidence in him. Yet he led them with great strength, yet with great meekness. Let me tell you what the Bible says about Moses. Hebrews 11:24. Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Here was a man who was unparalleled for his strength, yet also unparalleled for his meekness. Strength under control. Now, I want you to remember this the next time that you're wrong, the next time you find something against you that's not particularly appealing to you, exercise meekness. Not because you're weak, not because you're afraid, not because you're scared. But you could address the issue, but just stand back and think. Maybe it is God's place to bring judgment, not mine. He provides, he defends for the meek. And then, although time is gone here, but let me say this. You might think Moses is a high standard, but the word of God lifts the bar far higher when we read in Matthew 11 and the verse 29 where Christ says, I am meek and lowly. That's a whole different level now. Moses was the meekest of men upon earth, but this is Jesus Christ who made the heavens and the earth, who possesses all power and all wisdom, who is a judge of all the earth, and yet he stands as a man with absolute authority and power, yet that power is under control. Remember the sons of Zebedee, when at one occasion they saw someone doing that which was wrong, and they said to the Lord Jesus Christ, why don't we call down fire and brimstone from heaven and burn them up? And Christ rightly rebuked them. That's not how we behave, men and women. Christ could have done that. He had the strength to do it, but meekness was his strength under control. Can I say, neither Christ nor Moses were cowards, obviously. And when there was sin, they did not permit sinful acts to go on unhindered. Okay, meekness doesn't mean we sit back with our mouths closed. There is discernment required, men and women. Consider when Christ went into the temple and he saw the money changers making a fortune, robbing the people. He went in and he turned the tables, took a whip and used it against everything that was there and read out the temple. That was him still being meek. He was still exercising strength under control. He could have wiped them all out, annihilated them there and then. It was a fitting response to their sin against God. Sometimes people can sin against you. I'm talking right now about sin against God. Always distinguish that. What about Moses? Remember when he went up the Mount Sinai and he came down and the people were what? It wasn't that they had rejected him. It was the fact they had rejected God with their pagan idolatry. And Moses said to them, take your calf. He melted it down. He ground up the gold. He made them drink it. And there was punishment meted out there. These men were not weak. They were meek. They knew how to address issues time and time again. So, having these scriptural promises about meekness in the book of Psalms and seeing these scriptural examples of being meek, well then let me just come to a couple of wee quick observations and then we'll close. The Spirit, men and women, brings this meekness. When someone is saved, the Spirit of God who is meek brings this meekness. And it's there for you and me to cultivate. The unsaved doesn't have this. They understand that. The unsaved does not have meekness. Now you may say, well, there's unsaved people you know, and they certainly live in a meek way. If that's what you think, you completely misunderstand meekness. Because meekness, like I said, is first and foremost towards God. It is sitting down in all circumstances and acknowledging that God is God and you will depend upon Him for everything you need. Your guidance, your provision, your defense, your exaltation, your honoring heaven, whatever the case may be, you're looking to God, and the unsaved will never ever do that because they're unsaved. When the Spirit of God enters in, we become meek, we look to God, and we ought to be harnessing that and cultivating that. There is no meekness in hell, because in hell we read that people are wailing and they're gnashing their teeth in anger and aggression against God. But when we are meek, men and women, when we understand that God is in control, that will change how you work with people around you. You'll be meek towards men because you know God is sovereign. The meek man will therefore not be revengeful, won't be harsh, won't be fretting, but he'll be calm, not seeking to defend his own honor, not boastful and proud, but will quietly wait upon God. And again, meekness is one of those virtues that we want everyone else to have, but we don't want to exercise it ourselves. We want to defend ourselves. Well, I tell you, that's God's job. Closing word, just to finish this, Martin Luther again. He says here, Christ is here rebuking those wild saints. Those wild saints who think everyone is master in this world and has a perfect right to bear no suffering, but only to make a racket and a bluster with violence to defend his own name. And he teaches us that he who wishes to rule and possess his own, his prosperity, his home, etc., in peace, must be meek, so that he may overlook things and act reasonably and suffer. Now listen to that, men and women. We ought to have broad shoulders. And there's something nice about someone who has broad shoulders, and they can take a lot of grief. They can handle it. That's a Moses. That's a Christ. That's not weakness. That's the beautiful virtue of meekness, depending upon God. Let's take our hymn books this morning.